It's my absolute great pleasure to introduce tonight's moderator, Ms. Kinsey Moreland. Kinsey Moreland has been covering arts and culture in San Diego and Tijuana for over a decade as a journalist. She is currently the engagement editor at The Voice of San Diego, where she authors The Culture Report, a weekly email roundup of arts and culture news and happenings. Please give a very warm welcome to Kinsey Moreland.
Well, thank you. This is great to see. Standing room only. That's awesome. Of course, I'm Kinsey, and I'm going to introduce our panelists very quick. This is going to be a fast-paced talk, so stay with us. And then, of course, we'll open it up at the end to get the questions and answers going. So, Janessa, I'll start with Janessa because her work is here. Janessa Goodwin is an artist here. And immediately following, you can look closer at her work. Christine Jones, right here, is the Public Art Program Manager for the City of San Diego, the Commission for Arts and Culture. We have Priya Sirkar. She's our out-of-town perspective. She's a consultant with Lord Cultural Resources. And we have Leanne Thompson-Mueller, who is a curator and education director at A Ship in the Woods, which is a... used to be in Del Mar, now you're in Escondido. Congratulations on that. So let's just jump right into it. And the question that we're asking is, will San Diego ever be a great art city? And of course, there's a premise there that it isn't already a great art city. So I want to start there. And let's do just a quick hands here. Let's get the audience involved. Who thinks San Diego is a great art city already? Okay, so since this might be in podcast form, that was about 15 people. And who thinks San Diego is not a great art city already? Okay, so definite majority there. So I want to put that question to you ladies. Christine, you raised your hand.
Good.
So tell us why you think San Diego is a great art city.
I think what I would like to know is what defines a great art city. Let's start with that, because I think it probably the definition means different things to different people, different voices. And I think there's many voices at the table when it comes to arts and culture in the San Diego region. So for me, you know, a child might think it's a great art city. You know, somebody who's in a creative class might think it's a great art city. Somebody who's at the opera, somebody who's at a Tony Award-winning Broadway theater show at the Old Globe. There's so many different voices in our region, and there's so many great dynamic things happening here that I think we need to start with what actually we're talking about when we're talking about what is a great art city.
Okay, Janessa, what's a great art city? You were in New York for a while. So.
Yeah, for a long time, and Chicago and San Francisco. A great art city to me is somewhere where art is ready and accessible to everyone almost all the time.
Okay. Priya?
I would agree with the other panelists so far. I mean, I think that there are a few hallmarks that a lot of people think of when we think of a great art city. A lot of arts offerings and a variety of arts offerings where there's something for everyone in that city. And a lot of artists at all different levels. You know, that means both professional artists and amateur artists and people who are just partaking in making art. And then also that there is the community that values arts is one of the things that I think we see in cities that people think of as great art cities. And perhaps, eventually, I don't think this is a must, but maybe that the arts draw people to that city from other places around the country, around the world.
Leanne?
I also think that San Diego is a great frontier for artists. In other words, this is a place where there's only abundance of opportunity. A lot of cities, it's been done. This has been done. When I lived in San Francisco, everything had been done. You know, you couldn't do anything. Every place you wanted to ever have a show, full, can't get in, high competition. You know, I mean, there's a lot to be said about competition, but there's a lot to be said about opportunity. And so when I lived in San Francisco, I was there and I actually saw it become a place where, you know, openings would happen for local artists, you know, as you would go down Mission Street, maybe once a month, maybe, you know, every 3 months, and you know, it's you have your Paula Englunds, you have your contemporaries, but there wasn't really a local, like a heavily locally loved scene. And I saw the proliferation of opportunity, and then it became as if it were suffocated with too much. So mm-hmm. I think that San Diego is great frontier for artists, and it's an incredibly great community. I was just speaking to a couple of friends of mine that are artists because of today, and I said, what do you think? And they said, I would never give San Diego up. Like, the community for me as an artist is very engaging and supportive.
Okay. So sorry for those who do think it is a great art city. I'm going to dive right into not the blame game, but trying to figure out maybe how we could make San Diego a better art city. And a lot of times people want to point at the big arts institutions in town. San Diego is not a great art city because we don't have a world-class opera or world-class symphony. San Diego is not a great art city because the Museum of Contemporary Art isn't inclusive enough. So what roles do you think the big and small arts institution in San Diego could play in making San Diego better?
Well, I mean, we're really talking about cultural consumption on one level, right? Cultural consumption is focused on, mega events, mega projects, the cultural institution, big projects, expansions, new performing arts centers. And it's also about mega events like Comic-Con or the Makers Fair that was in Balboa Park last year, and getting those to be, attended. And it's also about the resources and creating those cultural resources and the investment in the arts and culture. We're talking about cultural consumption on one level, I think. And we're also talking about cultural production and the creativity on another level. So I'd like to raise the question of, when we talk about arts and culture, are we talking about a broader concept of creativity? Because I think San Diego is a hotbed for creativity, innovation, and growth. I think it's a fertile place for us to find that nexus between science, technology, and the arts. And I think both cultural institutions, whether they're small festivals or they're big institutions like Museum of Contemporary Art or the opera, I think we can all learn and focus on creating those nexuses and thinking about it as a bigger picture.
Right, and we don't have to go in a line, ladies. If you want to talk, jump in where you want to jump in. You don't have to jump into every question, so.
I'll go. So I absolutely agree with what you were saying, Christine. And I think along those lines, it's really that every sector, that's the arts, it's arts and culture, which is even broader than just arts. It's business, technology, health, government, service organizations, education. Everyone has some role to play in making San Diego an even greater art city. I mean, I agree, just from what I was seeing as I was preparing for today, is that there is so much already happening here. And really, when there is, I mean, I work in communities when there's not necessarily a lot happening, and San Diego is not in that place. What it is really about is integrating all those things and really bringing everyone up together. So in terms of the kinds of things that I mentioned a moment ago and that we've been talking about that we think make a great art city, some of the things that are needed are, for example, you talked about accessibility. You talked about accessibility as well. And what does that mean? Well, that means accessibility in terms of financial accessibility, right? Cost for participation in things. It means geographical, physical accessibility. It means accessibility in terms of disability, which is the next kind of big frontier that we're heading in terms of making sure that all kinds of activities, not just arts and cultural, are accessible to people. So in terms of, for example, cultural participation, consumption, and production, it also means what I always think about is, as a practicing artist myself, is low barriers to entry. If you are wanting to, whether it's just take an intro course in some kind of art making, or if you are a professional artist and you're trying to get your foot in the door in a new community, which I have tried to do, moving from Austin, Texas, what I think is a great art city, and some others would agree, to New York some years ago, it can be very difficult when you're trying to break, and you just had this experience, I'm not saying it was difficult, but moving from one city to another, how difficult is it to go to a place and to get your start in the arts? And so in terms of what, how the organizations of different sizes, what they can do, and what organizations in different sectors can do, everyone has a role to play. Policy making, that's not just government. I mean, the government has a role, but so do foundations, you know, philanthropic sector, corporations, what they do in terms of funding the arts. All of that is, it's either actual policy because it's the arts, or because it's law or regulations, or it's de facto policy because it's what they're doing.
Right.
And everyone has something, some way to contribute. And so it's really about integrating all those things so that everything, you know, the whole playing field can rise.
I also think that it's about perception. So if somebody is perceiving San Diego as a place where you're going to go to the beach and have a margarita and get your jet ski, right? So when we are viewed in from international perspective, you know, how is it they're viewing us, and what means are we doing to overcome that? So as a city, you know, can the Chamber of Commerce, for example, you know, look at the message that they're giving, right? What are the images of the tourism board? What images are they giving? So when we think about how, as far as I'm concerned, every city in the world could always improve and do things that are going to diversify their image.
Right. Competition with the panda, though.
Exactly.
We have to really do something special. If we
exactly. but so, like, let's say, for example, you know, we have a magazine, and the magazine is specifically about art, and we have San Diego Art Magazine, and the articles are incredible. You know, we talk about international artists, we bring in international artists, we feature what's going on at the contemporary here. This becomes something that every tourist gets when they come to San Diego. You know, what if there's a website that, you know, is linked from the Chamber of Commerce that talks about the art in San Diego, talks about the Old Globe, and talks about what UCSD is doing? I mean, some of the productions they do are incredible. I mean, think about, you know, the car, what was this car play where, people, you know, you would go into each car and yeah, there would be a play, an actor in each car. I mean, this is incredible work that we're doing, but nobody knows. They don't know.
I would disagree with that, because cultural tourism is something that the city of San Diego is incredibly focused on. We have an extensive partnership with the San Diego Tourism Authority, and we don't see the ads because they're out there in international cities, and they're in national cities. We have got media buys, we have print ads. We have, you know, San Diego is being looked at and perceived from the outside differently than I think we're still seeing ourselves. So I think we're still growing into being the second largest city in California. But from the outside, we're looked at, for example, there was some study done in 2015 by the Arizona State University, and we were in the top 10 of the cities in the United States that almost had the ultimate creative economy. And so that is something we need to be proud of and focus on. And obviously creativity, I mean, art is a product of that. And it's something that, you know, again, it's about connections and creating those collaborations. Like you're saying, you know, accessibility, it's really about cultivating that. It's about engagement. It's about fueling all those tools we can use in our toolkit to really make San Diego kind of build the awareness of what's really going on here.
But internally, I find that one of the biggest struggles that, as an artist in San Diego, there's so little creative industry. Most artists need a day job, at least in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that is really hard to find here. You know, if you live in New York or San Francisco or some, you can work in a creative industry and then do your artwork on the side. You come to San Diego, well, I'm not going to get hired by a biotech company. Qualcomm doesn't want me. So it's like, that is really difficult. And I think that's actually a barrier for artists coming to the city, mm-hmm. or, you know, trying to stay in the city. Mm-hmm. I think we have a big exodus all the time. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that I think is really interesting that's different about San Diego in certain ways is that I've seen a lot of close-knit art communities here, and they really are supporting each other. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of entrepreneurship. There is a real entrepreneurial spirit going on in the San Diego region right now, whether it's craft beer or it's biotech or arts and culture. And I think it's fueling all these different industries. And I'm seeing lots of movement and dynamic. You know, it's a very dynamic place, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And yes, I think there are areas probably in industry that, you know, we could build on, but I do think it's growing.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I agree.
I actually feel like I've seen it grow since I've lived here. You know, it's a perfect example is SDAI, mm-hmm. you know, which has changed dramatically and now has international artists that come in. And you know, there is more happening at each corner I look. It's as if they're, you know, if you go to Barrio Logan, you know, Umberto Experimental is a great, you know, there's a lot of great galleries. They're just opening up like almost every week, you know, and like, I can't even keep my calendar going. Like, wait a second, there's something else happening. And the artwork is good, you know. And right. And so I think that I believe in what you're saying. I feel like that there is a bubble that's kind of, or things are bubbling.
Momentum.
Momentum would be the perfect word.
Yeah, I think right. I think that's absolutely true. San Diego has, but I think that's kind of the issue that we've all kind of in the course of having these conversations leading up to that, is that we've all kind of come to this point where it's there, it's building, but it hasn't quite reached that critical mass yet. And I think that's kind of what everyone's feeling. So what does it take to get there?
So city and county, what is their role and responsibility in taking this bubbling energy and excitement and the industries that are brewing? You know, for example, you know, San Diego is the only sizable county in all of California, 58 counties that doesn't have an arts council. And the arts council is the one, the county arts council is the one that typically has a website and does more branding and works with the city commission in funding things and getting things going. So let's talk a little bit about there's a city program in San Jose that funds arts entrepreneurs, not just arts nonprofits. So under the current structure, only official nonprofits can get funded through the city. And it's kind of the whole, you have to have been doing it for a while to get funded. It's just, it's hard to, you know, get the city to trust you to give you their money, right? So what can the city and the county do? Maybe new programs or innovations to help San Diego take that next step?
Well, I mean, I think it's about cultivating a dynamic arts ecosystem here. And certainly investment is one thing. And we're continually investing in the arts. We, in fiscal year 16, we invested in 146 arts organizations in San Diego, put in $9.7 million into the economy, into those arts organizations. So certainly investment is important, and sustainability for that investment is important. But also, you know, I think I would say adaptability is important, and because I think we're evolving constantly. So I think one of our focuses is cultivation and connection, making the connections mm-hmm. between people and the arts, whether it's making connections between artists, arts organizations, and creating those connections, those levels of engagement, and having those dialogues is where I think that we can come into the conversation.
I'd agree with that. And I think that one of the key pieces is that in addition to what you just described that the city is already doing, which is excellent, which is really is investing heavily and already creating some connections, is that a city government or a county government can be a really important convener. So, you know, bringing people together who might not be talking already, you know, these different sectors that I mentioned that might be operating in silos, maybe not complete silos, maybe there are already some collaborations and partnerships happening, but to actually actively get them together, there's sometimes that can happen from other places, and that's wonderful if it does, whether it happens from the corporate sector or from the philanthropic sector. You know, the name of the game these days in many areas, not just arts and culture, is public-private partnership. And mm-hmm. so the public part of that is the city or the county government. And then the private part is we as individuals or the corporate sector or philanthropy. So all of that has to come together, but it really makes a big statement. I mean, in the communities we work around the country and around the world with different communities doing cultural planning, and it makes such a huge difference when the government really, you know, takes that leadership role and says, we're going to put an effort into planning. Planning is a huge thing that cities do and counties do. And to, for example, you know, convene different organizations in different sectors in a concerted, say, master planning initiative, that it's really about how can we identify the synergies and make everything move forward together. Because, you know, sort of working in different kind of either silos or just one-on-one, we can chip away at the things that we think might move things forward. But when everyone is working in a more concerted effort, that's when actually, you know, bigger moves are going to happen on the needle.
Well, Leanne, you work for a nonprofit that's doing cutting-edge arts and culture programming. Most recently, there was a show at Cabrillo, which was installations all over Cabrillo National Park, and you could explore the park and interact with some of these installations. There was music. Do you feel like you're getting support from the county or the city and to do what you do? And if not, sorry to put you on the spot. I mean, do you think there's maybe a communication breakdown between, because as Christine was saying, you know, they do fund over 100 arts organizations. So is it maybe just a matter of getting word out about that resource that's available for you?
I think that it takes a full-time job to do that, because there are a lot of resources here. And I think that there needs, you know, that part of a nonprofit or an organization needs to just focus on the grants, focus on the partnerships they can make. And I think that it's there. You know, I think that there's a creative catalyst and you plan for that. There's the San Diego Foundation and you get to know them. You go down and you find out what your resources are. Mm-hmm. And so it is available. It's not like someone's going to give it to you. Absolutely not. I mean, you need to look. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what any organization would have to do, whether it's an art organization or, you know, saving the wildlife, you know.
So, and what about you, Janessa, as an individual artist? I mean, individual artists don't get much support at all financially from official levels. You can...
Not really, no. But I, you know, honestly, when you guys were talking about that, what I was thinking is how much do the different organizations, nonprofits, I mean, how unified is that here in San Diego? I'm a relative newcomer to the San Diego arts scene, so I don't know all the ins and outs of all the different programs yet. But I mean, how much do you guys talk?
So there's a Performing Arts League, and so there's a unification of the performing arts groups, right? And then there's a few other groups, but there are no real visual artists, no one really strong network that I'm aware of.
I think there's a lot of close-knit artist communities, and I think there's lots of clusters within San Diego region.
Oh, sorry. There is a San Diego Visual Artist Network that's been working for a very long time. But it's, you know, you're in North County, not saying you're only North County, but there's a lot of young artists who never heard of you, to be honest. I mean, and that's not your fault. It's hard. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of artists.
But there are a lot
the
of people.
The San Diego Visual Artist Network, SDVAN.
Yeah. It's not the San Diego Visual Artist Network. Sorry. It's the San Diego Visual Arts Network.
Arts.
From Baja Norte to Fallbrook.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you've been around for
11 years,
over a decade. Yeah, and you work hard. I mean, you are. But you're also doing everything volunteer. I mean, it's a lot of work.
But a lot of people have never even heard of Lux Art Institute.
True.
And I mean, you know, when I was talking to people about that, people are like, oh, great, love to come see your show. Where's Lux? And this is in Encinitas.
Wow.
And that's crazy to me.
Wow. Yeah.
So it sounds to me like it's about building awareness, right? I mean, it's like, it sounds like things are here. It's about creating that awareness and communicating that so everybody knows where to go and what the resources are.
That's where I was starting out with, is that there is incredible amounts of resources here. And it's the fact that when I came here, I really had to find my own way, because it was hard to, like, really know where to go at first to find where your niche is. You know, there's so much to hear, but when there's not enough pictures, there's not enough so I think that something that just focused strictly on art, mm-hmm. you know, would be helpful. Mm-hmm. And that way you can find what's going on. One of my most favorite resources is The Voice of San Diego, you know, art, the Patricia Fisher's website as well, mm-hmm. And the City Beat, mm-hmm. you know, and that's it. So you have to like take four or five different types of medias, you look through, sift through them and go, okay, that's the one I want to go to. And that's where I want to spend my time. And so I think that would be a key thing, is to bring about a resource. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to add that the Tourism Authority does have a pretty massive website too, where that does pull a lot of events as well. So they're out there.
Aren't they required by the city application to fill out their events on that website if they get?
They have been in the past, yeah. So that is a good resource as well to look for events and happenings going on.
So. How many of you in the audience go to UCSD to see art or consume arts? Okay. USD? SDSU. Okay, so we have...
Point Loma Nazarene.
Oh, sorry. Point Loma Nazarene. Does anybody go up there? Okay. So we are a city of major, major universities and college systems. And do you see them as being responsible for the state of the art scene? And if so, you know, what's their role and what is their responsibility?
I actually think that the university system is incredible. I mean the UCSD, the Stewart Collection, I mean, you know, Baldessari. I mean, you think about the artists that are coming out of the schools. And one thing that wasn't necessarily mentioned was all the community colleges that are really sure. supporting the arts. You know, we have Palomar College. We have each of those schools has
great
their own gallery. And not only that, but they support a lot of the teachers. The teachers are artists. The artists are working in San Diego as artists. And you know, I mean, one of them, just each and every one of them has given so much to the community here. So I think that that the arts in the schools and what they provide and the resources are fantastic. And, you know, and I just found out something recently, is that there is a program at San Diego State that you can take a class of any of their classes in any of the departments. So if you wanted to take a class, you can go and take a class without being an enrolled student, which is great, you know. So there's education, but one thing that I felt we don't necessarily have is an art school. Like think of Chicago, what do you think of? Right? Think about San Francisco. What do you think of? New York, right? San Diego. You know, a lot of what comes out of those art schools are artists that tend to live. I mean, once they finally like have settled, there is this sense of like pride, like here, you know, this is my art school. This is where I've gone. And a lot of them come out and they want to curate from this, you know, the art school, and they want to open a gallery in the city that they've come out of. I mean, it's right there. The networks are there. I saw that happen in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the circle, right? It's a circle of, you know, student, art school. It's a nice way to breed. I think that the universities are doing that here, and they're excellent, but I think it would be great to have a significant art school.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. That's a big thing that I've seen in cities where I've lived that have great art schools, is that exactly that happens. People stay because that's where all their connections are, and, you know, and then it grows. So,
but, I mean, I definitely have to say, I mean, the ones we have, UCSD, I mean, the ones we have, the art departments at the universities are good. But I just, it's not the whole, you know, it's just the art school.
Right, right. I'm glad you brought up the community colleges, because I think San Diego, at least in visual art sense, has a lot of history tied to, like, Southwestern. And then now Mesa College is just doing amazing mm-hmm. things with their gallery. And City has a brand new art gallery. How many of you knew that? A huge, beautiful space.
State of the art. State of the art.
They have no budget to run it, but it's there. So another issue that often comes up to me. You know, I've been covering arts for 10 years, and in the visual art realm, it's, well, there's not enough collectors in San Diego. There are not enough people with spending money, giving me money, paying me for my art. In the performing arts world, maybe not enough patrons, or there's all these big-time donors, right? The Irwin Jacobs of the world who fund arts and culture and who support it. But then there's not enough kind of mid-level people giving, you know, $40 a month, or I don't know what people are asking for these days. But so what do you think of the state of San Diego, of its arts collectors and its arts patrons, and what could be done to improve it?
Education. So I think that one of the things that is important anywhere, it's not just San Diego, is the education of art and the value of art. So if somebody doesn't know that art's valuable, they're not going to consider putting any efforts towards it. I think that bringing in multidisciplinary projects that cover more than just like one subject, that look at and provoke thought, critical thinking, dialogue between people that want to communicate with each other about art because it's part of their daily lives. So if you show them that in ways to educate them, and how can we educate them? You know, could there be different clubs that people learn about art? Like there's finance clubs, there's voting clubs, you know, that people actually, you know, learn and go out and go. And I think there's some in San Diego that are starting, there's meetup groups I've noticed, you know. Just thinking about, you know, what, like how many of you have art clubs that you go to and talk about art, you know. The more we do that, the more that people are going to give to the arts. You know, it's something that excites them and invigorates.
I would say, from my perspective, it's also about creative expression and what's in it for me. You know, a lot of people we're all obviously interested in the arts because we're here. So the question is, what about all the people that are not here? And how do we reach them and get them engaged in arts and culture here? So it's about creating, you know, making them feel like they're part of it and creating that connection and you know, how they can express themselves creatively, excuse me. And so I think, you know, it's a broader question of that in a lot of levels, yeah. To get more people at the table, that because we're all here.
Yeah. Right. I agree. I mean, I think I agree with education, and I think part of what, to me, what I, you know, take from what you just said is exposure. And arts education in schools is one way to do that, but also infusing art into other areas of life as much as possible. I mean, that's where some of these connections with, whether it's amongst what city agencies are doing, you know, I mean, incorporating different communities are doing it. Perhaps this exists in San Diego as well, but, you know, turning crosswalks into places where it's actually artistic. I think when we worked in Chicago, the mayor himself said, why couldn't the crosswalks be purple? You know, why do they have to be this boring color, you know? So literally thinking about what are all the different places where actually art can be part of something that where it otherwise might not be. And that, I think, gets art in many different ways out into people's daily lives so that there's some form of art everywhere. And I think that way it starts to just kind of infuse your life with
hashtag art everywhere all the time. There's actually a site specific theater show happening in Ocean Beach right now, I think, as we speak. So, and I love that. I love arts groups working outside the confines of the traditional space and really integrating into the fabric of the community so that even if you're not looking for art, you encounter it when it happens.
Yeah, and I was going to say having art not in just a gallery, right? Mm-hmm. So exactly what you're saying is like more organizations. There is one, SPF 15, that does art in all the different beaches. Yeah. You know, we decided we wanted to do it at Cabrillo National Monument. You know, and that's something that we really love to do.
SDAI is at a Horton Plaza now.
Exactly.
Project space there.
Yeah. And there's something else in La Jolla. There are different walls that they have and billboards that are just art. Mm-hmm.
The La Jolla Mural Project.
Yeah, one from Carl Strauss. There's one behind the building. But the thing is, it's the exposure and the knowledge that it's there, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. it took me a while to figure it out. Like, what is that, you know?
But does that encourage collectors to buy art?
Well, there's another thing, which is...
Yeah, that's a whole different level. I
mean, so there's something else I was thinking about before I came here today. There's been a lot of different dialogue about the same problem among people in the art world here in San Diego have been intrigued by the same question, and there's been a lot of discussion about it. And one of the things that I felt would be critically important to collectors, this is more than just, I mean, is critical critics that are paid. So Kinsey's incredible, and she's a wonderful.
But I'm not a critic. I'm not an art critic.
And but we have one, Robert Pincus. There's not a paid position. Okay, we have others here that live here. We need a paid position. So a paid position for collectors to look at the critical feedback of the art, you know, and not only that, but like international perspective. Like, what if we had a panel of, you know, like a program where we brought in international critics to come criticize art here in San Diego? And maybe this was an international program that was in all cities, right? There's something that the art collectors are going to look at. Wow, my art actually is worth something. I'm going to buy it. You know, that's meaningful to me. There's a history behind that piece.
So themes that I keep hearing are there's a lack of arts journalism. Thanks for pointing it out. Throwing myself under the bus there. That there's a lack of communication between, there's lots of siloed stuff, communication both amid arts groups and then toward people who are already in the arts circle that we need to talk about. We need to find some more communication there. I don't know. We're coming to a close here, and I'm trying to decide what the most important question, you know, that I can slip in the next 5 minutes that we have. Something that I hear all the time is location, that we are sandwiched between L.A., where, speaking of criticism, mm-hmm. Christopher Knight, L.A., mm-hmm. Leah Ullman, who actually lives in San Diego but does criticism.
I didn't want to talk about that.
For L.A. And then Tijuana, which is got its own unique, you know, environment of arts and culture and its own draw there. So sometimes people from L.A. bypass San Diego to go to the arts in Tijuana. So, and then on the flip side, I hear people saying the location is what we have going for the art scene here. It's the best thing about being in San Diego is that we have LA and Tijuana right here. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I would say that San Diego is very different than LA. A lot of people live in San Diego because they don't want to live in LA. So what we have that I think is different is the fact that we do have our next door neighbor in Tijuana. I think there's a serious opportunity there for bi-national collaborations and our arts organizations collaborating and, you know, vice versa, and creating that interesting dialogue and that international kind of mix of people. So I think that's one thing that really sets us apart in the United States in general, is that unique opportunity we have. And another thing I think is also we're a hotbed of creativity, and we haven't tapped, the arts and culture has not tapped a lot of that. And again, I'm talking about our science base, our biotechs, our technologies, and creating those collaborations. And I think that those two things are two of the things that I think set us apart and create opportunities for us to further explore and talk about as we move forward.
I think this, what I'm going to say doesn't specifically relate to, to geography, but along, I think, the same lines as what you were saying, it's making me think of, you know, what are the things, I don't think the geography is an issue. I think absolutely it's an advantage. And it's about thinking about what is specific to San Diego that can be spotlighted or leveraged or just really tapped into. So a couple of the things that, you know, came to mind as I was preparing for today is the military population here. I mean, some of the communities we've worked in, you know, they have a military population that's significant. And what connections could there be there? There might already be some mm-hmm. connections that are perhaps yeah. happening on a organizational basis, yeah. but maybe there's a really big way to actually tap into that. I also read that San Diego has one of the largest homeless populations in the United States and the largest military, homeless veteran population. But, you know, it's what are the specific communities that are really unique to San Diego that could perhaps be served even better or at all? I don't presume to know how they are or not being, being served now. But, you know, those were some, you know, really specific things about this community. And it's about, you know, let's look at that. And maybe there are ways to really, you know, ratchet up how that they're being served.
Okay, just so that we're not all, what are we doing right? Before we have to, we go to Q&A, what is San Diego doing right now that shows that we are progressing to be a great art city?
So we're talking about education again. One of the things I really love is that we have High Tech High, and it's a technology art school. We have a museum school, which is a charter school. So is the city really helping us to fodder that? And generally, if something, it's kind of like, if that is happening, then this, another one's, oh, I want to do it too. So the chances of it expanding are even greater because it exists here. So I think that's one of the things.
Yeah, and I agree that all the little sort of nexuses of creative, you know, communities and things that are happening, kind of bubbling up, the more those spread, the more they'll connect with each other. And then, you know, that'll kind of help bring it up. And so San Diego is doing that, right? By cultivating those little spots.
I think you're having this conversation. That's a big one. I mean, that's part of what you're kind of recapping some of the things that we've been hearing today. And just talking about art and the value of art is important. You're right. In this room, we might be talking, you know, preaching to the choir, but how can these conversations happen in a more broad fashion? You know, how can there be a citywide conversation about the value of art? I know the city has videos that I saw online, which are fantastic, and so that's maybe one way to have that. But can it be even built upon? You know, can
the city's busy talking about the Chargers right now?
So. Can't be bothered. How do we get the Chargers involved in art? Yeah, how do we, or the Raiders? Wait,
how do we capitalize on that?
Yeah, yes.
Think about that. Are we ready to open things up?
Hi, my name is John Hall. Thanks for doing this. Great idea for doing this tonight. I was compelled by when we talk about art reflecting especially who we are, maybe who we're not. I think art can be very honest and should reflect who we really are. You brought up High Tech High, which is a great example because I have three kids that go there. In my opinion, it's probably the most dense collection of diversity of San Diego that there is. They get their student body by drawing in lottery form from every zip code in San Diego. So when you walk on campus there, you get a true picture of
what... In the county or in the city of San Diego?
In the county. Oh. So they draw from North County, South County. And so it's a really unique place, and art is reflected there. There was a great film that came out of there called Innocente about a student that did remarkable work. But here's what I'm curious about. In our art scene, how can we better reflect who we really are? Because especially when you look at institutional art in San Diego, it tends to reflect certain parts of our culture and not other parts of our culture. There's a line that many people feel that exists on Interstate 8, north of the 8 and south of the 8. And what does art look like that really reflects who we really are as a city?
That is a fantastic question. I'm really excited to hear about how High Tech High, where it gets its student population. So thanks for sharing that. So there are multiple ways, but essentially that the organizations, different organizations of different sizes, as best as possible should strive to reflect their community. What does that mean? There are a few ways. Boards, I think it starts with boards, board of directors. Does that mean that the board has to exactly align with the demographics of the city? Not necessarily, but it means that there should be some representation of people who have different backgrounds, whether that's ethnicity, gender, age, income diversity. And then also that can happen through advisory, you know, groups. And that's where, you know, people who are from a lot of different backgrounds and parts of, you know, even geographic places in the community can participate and have some kind of way you know, to influence what's happening at that organization, and for the organization to have some sort of feedback loop. There has to be a way to actually be in dialogue with the community that they're serving. Mm-hmm. Also through the staffs. This is also, by the way, not just a problem in San Diego. A report just came out that was commissioned by, I think it was by the city of New York, that just found that the staffs of arts organizations in New York are horribly, there's a horrible lack of diversity there amongst the staffs. So this is happening other places too, but that's one of the ways to try to strive. Because if you think about it, when participants come and audiences come, you know, it helps to have someone who maybe looks like you. You know, if they're a docent and you're coming, and maybe the people from some communities are not necessarily comfortable attending a museum. It helps to have someone who's there, whether they're a volunteer. A volunteer base is another great way to have a way to reflect your community. And then, of course, the programming and the offerings, and whether that's the exhibitions or mm-hmm. others. And I guess I'll just quickly wrap up by saying it's not necessarily that every single institution has to look the same. That is not at all what I'm saying. But it's just that there are ways that they can each strive to do that.
Go ahead.
There is an organization, one among many, that are doing work with the Latino community. Bread and Salt is pretty involved and has a nice community base. Radio Valencia is all run by the people in the community in that area. And I know Space for Art is now starting to work. They just created a beautiful park, I guess, in Imperial. Mm-hmm. This is just a few that I'm thinking of. I know there are others that are looking at that. So, and there's a start, and I think that's important to think about and supporting that. And I also think curatorial programming, as you were saying, is important, particularly to just look at all aspects of when, you know, as each curator plans their show and the programming, like how am I supporting the community?
Did that answer your question?
My name is Victoria Plettner-Saunders. I do cultural planning and live here in San Diego, and have found that a lot of the things that were brought up today are things that every community asks those questions. More networking and convening. How do we get more communication out about what we do? You know, what are the offerings that we have? And I think, is it Priya? Mm-hmm. Is it? To your point, San Diego has never done a cultural plan. The city has done a smaller community convening back in 98, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But it usually comes out of an arts commission or a major arts agency or what I call an anchor institution. Mm-hmm. And I think in the new millennium, this is a really good time to start asking the question again mm-hmm. and really doing a larger planning effort for both city and the county.
I don't know that San Diego has actually fully grown into its cultural identity. And I think that's kind of one of the core, like in broader brush issues.
We're a relatively young city.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that if you look at older cities that have a rich history, it's easier to kind of identify what their, you know, their brand or their kind of flavor is. Whereas San Diego, we're still, I think, growing into that.
I was just thinking about the San Diego Art Prize and how that definitely takes a look at different people from all different types of the community and pulls mm-hmm. out and features emerging artists as well. So then there's also the conversation of an emerging versus an established artist mm-hmm. and how do you bring them out and show what they're doing. So talking to a part of representing multiple.
What about doing a cultural plan though? The question is, your question is, when are we going to, how are we going to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's time to be able to move the vision, to have mm-hmm. the vision conversation as mm-hmm. well as the identity. Mm-hmm. What is our cultural identity between Los Angeles and... Mm-hmm.
And this would all be resolved through a planning process.
And it would be a completely community-engaged plan. It would be a completely community-engaged planning process.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It could take a year and a half to do for a city of this size or a mm-hmm. county of this size mm-hmm. to create something. But out of it, what comes are observations and recommendations for being able to really move some of these things forward that are very specific mm-hmm. to the community.
Are these in the absolutely. Works, Christine? Is this happening?
Well, I would say the city of San Diego has gone through a really large process for a strategic plan at the city level. So, you know, our vision is for a world-class city. certainly art is a big part of any world-class city. So that is focused on connection and cultivation. Those are the areas that we're looking at, accessibility, engagement. Those are all the things that we're focusing on right now. We're having these conversations and focusing on the broader vision for the city.
I would say that, I mean, to your point, and actually what you just said, Christine, that's another reason why it's a great time, it sounds like, to do this plan, because the fact that the city is planning comprehensively, it's thinking big, it's thinking about all these different areas, which is fantastic to hear. It's an ideal time to do that kind of process because, as I hope you'll be glad to hear me say this, some people think that it's just the city government's job to be doing this, or that it's just the county government's job. It is an important role for the government to play, as I think we talked about earlier, but it's not only their job, it's all of our jobs. It's everyone's has something to contribute to this. And so while the city is looking at what they can do, it's that kind of process. I think the process that you're talking about, if I understand you correctly, is the kind where it really looks at what can everybody do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what's great is I think you know I absolutely agree with you in terms of what comes out of that kind of process that is useful. But the process itself can be fantastic. I mean, having this conversation, taking it outside of this room among people who already care about this, and having it throughout the community can really be a wonderful way to basically lay the foundation to then actually implement what comes out of that process.
Right. Yeah, I know San Diego Unified is currently doing a plan for arts education.
When I think of cities that have really sort of risen to prominence over the past decade in the United States that weren't really big international art cities before, I think of Miami and also to some degree Austin as well, in large part because of Art Basel and Austin City Limits. And I was wondering if you think that there is the opportunity for sort of a large international arts event in San Diego that could kind of galvanize the arts community here and sort of energize the community.
I think we should capitalize on the assets that are already here, that people already think about us for the zoo, they already think about us for the beach. And I absolutely think there's room for something like that that would brand us nationally and internationally, personally.
There's something, I think, to your point, so I'm from Austin, so I know well what you're talking about. And one of the things that Chicago did a cultural plan, which we did a few years ago, and they were wondering the same thing, basically. And what came out of that reflective process was that architecture, you know, Chicago is really known for very interesting architecture. Mm-hmm. You know, they already have, you can do the boat cruises right along the river and see the different architecture cruises. So what they just did this year for the first time that came out of that planning process was a Chicago Biennale, basically, a Chicago biennial that was specifically about architecture. And it's been really successful and has been absolutely just something which was all about what's specific to Chicago that people are already interested in that can then be really elevated and raise the visibility of the
I also
the
think
city.
There's room for a Cloudgate. Epic public art sculpture, that size and scale, plop it in the Plaza de Panama. I think. Can you make that happen?
Yeah. Well, there's some historic things going on there. But in terms of, you know, your question is about really about, again, cultural consumption. And it's about creating those mega events that are a draw, that are an attraction, that create that awareness. And one thing that I think is... San Jose has capitalized on really well and has an event called Zero One. And that event has really created kind of that nexus between technology up there and art. And they've really capitalized on that and created that synergy between those two things. One thing that I think could be, and I think it's a nonprofit that runs it, and they have it, it's a biennial. It happens every couple of years, and it's just a real interesting thing that's very just San Jose. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think could be explored here, and those conversations can happen. I think the thing, again, that sets us apart is the science here and our binational roots here. Mm-hmm. And so those are two things that I think could create some synergies in that dialogue.
We used was the binational event that went to Tijuana? The
Insight.
Insight. Mm-hmm. We used to have Insight, yeah. And that was an international mm-hmm. draw. It was kind of mm-hmm. highbrow international draw. But mm-hmm. I also think, sorry, to capitalize on what you're saying, Illumina is like one of our big biotech giants, and they mm-hmm. have an amphitheater. So if there's any creatives out there that want to mm-hmm. propose an event, the Illumina people are really open to culture. So yeah, take them up on it.
My name is Katie, and I actually just moved back down here from the Bay Area as well, where I got my MFA, and I'm working as an educator in San Diego at City College, and we're really struggling to sort of keep our heads above water. Excuse me, here, especially in the photography department, there's sort of a lack of state funding, I think, for the arts in city colleges in San Diego. But furthermore, I wanted to touch on the fact that it hasn't really been talked about, like youth arts education enough, I don't think, especially here in San Diego. San Francisco has a lot of funding for that, the Bay Area does. And I wonder how you think it can be sort of, the arts can be normalized as integral to the development of young minds, specifically.
Lux here actually has a really great program where they go into schools, but I have two kids who are in public schools, and all the arts funding was cut a few years back, so it's all volunteer nowadays. And the school we go to, fortunately, has really great moms who come in and do that, but that is a really, it's a great thing to think about, and it was kind of tragic when that funding got taken away.
Your question about how it can be, basically the value of art can be communicated. That's the struggle everyone's having everywhere. So I won't profess to have any magic bullets, but I think there are a few things. One is, again, talking more about art, and those of us who have benefited from some kind of involvement in the arts to kind of actually really be open about it and talk about it with other people. I think one thing is, and I think you do this with your educational efforts, and you with your educational efforts too, and Lux is doing this by having a setup where we can see artists' work and their process, is demystifying art, because I think there are people who feel like it's not for them, or just it's this absolute mystery what a creative process is. So if there are ways to kind of bring that creative process closer to people, to the general and public, hopefully that can help people understand, you know, firsthand what the value of arts is.
Thank you for making our first time in Encinitas so wonderful. And thank you to our panelists. Give them a big round of applause for being here tonight.